We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
This is not something that can be driven top down. It is truly bottom up. The pride that associates take in not only serving our customer and making their days better through the retail store experience every day, but being able to go home at the end of the day and know that part of your job was to direct food to feed hungry families who may be your neighbors and certainly people in your community makes a huge difference and says a lot about our culture.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. While 40% of the food produced in the United States is thrown away, one in eight Americans struggle with hunger. Kroger is hoping to close this gap, the Zero Hunger, Zero Waste initiative. Through community engagement, customer education, and other operations, this initiative, commitment from Kroger to end hunger in our communities and eliminate waste across the company by 2025. Keith Daly, Group Vice President of Corporate Affairs of the Kroger Company, joins the Retail Gets Real podcast today to discuss how Kroger is supporting individuals and families experiencing food insecurity and how it's restructuring the narrative around food waste. Keith, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Bill, thanks so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
I'm very excited about the subject, and I know somebody else is very excited about this subject, and that would be my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Susan Retta. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Bill. You're right. I am excited about this topic. It's close to my heart. I hate to see waste.
And it's really important. It's incredibly, incredibly important. You know, and I think about it in a lot of different ways. I was raised by two Depression-era parents. And so, you know, waste and particularly food waste was always something that was kind of really pushed to us as something that we needed to be to avoid and to recognize and realize there were a lot of people out there that when you're throwing stuff away would have given anything, who enjoyed that morsel, that package, that meat, that product, and you're denying them that opportunity. So with all of that being said, Keith, tell us a bit about your story, the Keith Daly story. How did you start and how did you get to Kroger?
Thanks. Thanks very much, Bill. And it's really good to be with you too, Susan. I've been with Kroger about 9 years now. And I will tell you, I never expected to have a career in the grocery industry. Or another way to say it is I never expected to fall in love with the grocery business. When I was a young person, I had lots of interests, but one of the interests that was always kind of coming back was leadership. And as a pretty young person, I decided early on I wanted to pursue a career in politics because I thought that is where you pursue leadership, right? And
used to be that way, not anymore.
That's right. That's right. And I will say, as I'm saying those words, I'm thinking this is probably going to be an unpopular thing to say at this precise moment. But I grew up in the '80s, and things were a little different then.
Totally.
That's what I did. Actually, I went to work on political campaigns mostly. So I was sort of the perennial political campaign flack. That's what I did in my 20s. Had amazing experiences, worked on a lot of losing campaigns before I worked on a winning campaign, and helped elect a governor in my home state of Ohio back in 2006. And he took office in 2007. And that was right when the recession hit. So I spent 4 years working in the governor's office as both a press secretary and a communications director. And it was a pretty formative experience for me. I was in my 20s at the time, a great experience overall, but it was a tough time to be involved in governing because of the recession. And there just weren't a lot of choices that were uplifting. You know, most of the choices were between bad and worse at that time. At the end of his tenure, I was frankly just pretty burnt out on politics and maybe even a little bit cynical. And I decided I wanted to try and make a move into a different line of work. And I recognized I didn't have a ton of experience in business. And I spent a decade learning politics. I said, I'm going to go learn business. And I had this amazing opportunity with the Kroger company that allowed me to come in actually as a spokesperson initially. And, as I said, I thought it was going to be a couple of year gig. And it turned out that there's a lot to love about the grocery industry. It's an endlessly fascinating industry. I'd say that's true for retail as well. And what I've actually found here that I did not expect is that I would regain my sense of optimism and my sense of hope. And what I found is that in the business world, you can do more good, I believe, than even in the political world or the experience you might have in elected office.
That is so true. And our backgrounds are similar, actually. And I think that one of the things that you have to, acknowledge is that you think about the communities that you serve as a grocer, the impact that you have on the people that you employ and the people that shop in your stores. And you really feel good at the end of the day when you do good. And it's so hard to do that in government because it is so split, especially now. You get very frustrated when you know that there's the right thing to do and there's the wrong thing to do. And sometimes you don't do anything at all. And that's just as bad. So business, and particularly retail, is kind of rejuvenating. And you can tell, you're just like every other person in this business that we've had on this program. You're passionate about what you do because of who you do it for and the impact that you have. So hats off. Susan, what you got?
Well, I want to understand what Zero Hunger, Zero Waste is all about. So walk us through that program and what was the origin of it and how is it moving forward?
Yeah, thanks, Susan. Great question. And I'm really excited to share a little bit about Zero Hunger, Zero Waste with you. So about 4 years ago, Kroger took a step back and realized that we had what we believed to be a pretty wide open opportunity for the company to better clarify and define our commitment to social impact in the world. And this was rooted primarily in our CEO, Rodney McMullen, has a pervading belief that over time, we believe our customers, our associates, our communities, and our investors or shareholders all are going to continue to expect more from companies and are looking to work for, shop with, and invest in companies that have shared values and a clear sense of purpose and that do good in the world. And based on that belief and really a challenge from our CEO and our board, our team was asked to put some real thought into developing a program that would be authentic to the company and our history and also push the boundaries a little bit and be intentionally aspirational as a way to focus what is ultimately our ESG work as a company, environmental, social, and governance. We see that, or sometimes people talk about CSR, corporate social responsibility. I think these things all, for the Kroger Co., converge around Zero Hunger, Zero Waste. So as we set about that that process to really build out a program and ultimately a brand that the company could stand behind that would be an expression of Kroger's purpose, which is to feed the human spirit. We did a lot of deep work. We talked with a lot of our stakeholders. We consulted with a lot of research. And we also conducted a couple of years ago Kroger's first materiality assessment, which is kind of a process in that ESG space or sustainability space to really understand what's important to your stakeholders, what's important to the company, and then where those values connect. And what was very clear from the get-go, and not surprising as America's largest traditional grocery company, is that some of the most material issues for our company were and continue to be food access, food waste, health and nutrition, and community engagement. You know, as Bill noted a minute ago, our connection to our local communities and our connection to our associates and customers is so central to who we are. And we decided based on that, that we would start to build a program that then became what is now known as Zero Hunger, Zero Waste, with a very ambitious objective, which is by 2025 to end hunger in the communities we serve and eliminate waste, especially food waste, across our entire footprint. So that includes our 2,800 retail stores, as well as our about 35 or so manufacturing facilities, all located domestically here in the U.S. Now, the kind of crux of the program and what we're really trying to tackle is what Bill also set up at the top, which is this fundamental absurdity in the U.S. food system, which is that you got 40% of food that's produced goes to waste every year. Today, 1 in 8 or 1 in 9 people go to bed hungry every night in the United States. That number is worse for children in our country. It's more like 1 in 6 or 1 in 5. And it is that kind of interesting nexus between hunger and the fact that we have excess food. It's being wasted, yet we know we have hungry families, and trying to find the right way to solve for that is what really is the kind of intellectual underpinning of the program.
Is the waste or the excess Kroger kind of weeding out things that are near expiration and getting that food to people in need? Is that part of it? And how can you engage the consumer who, you know, as obviously a consumer myself, there's so many times I look at those things and I go, I got to use this right away. And if I don't, to Bill's point, I end up tossing it. And you feel so bad about that. So can both Kroger and the consumer make a difference to bring about change?
Absolutely. And it extends, frankly, beyond Kroger and the consumer. I mean, up and down the food value chain, there are opportunities to address food waste. You know, as we set about carrying forward our plan, which really started in earnest in 2018, we did decide that we needed to clean our house first before we would start to look out toward our suppliers, for example, or even a sort of further upstream toward the farms where waste also happens. And there's a variety of reasons for it at every level of the supply chain. But as an example, we had, even before launching Zero Hunger, Zero Waste, a pretty mature program. It used to be called our Perishable Donations Program. We now refer to it as our Zero Hunger, Zero Waste Food Rescue Program. But this is a program that engages our associates in the retail stores every single day. And it is exactly what you pinpointed, Susan. It's identifying product that is close to expiration date, that is still perfectly edible and healthy and nutritious, particularly those perishable items, right? So the foods that you would typically find in the produce departments are fresh departments, essentially, right? Produce, meat, seafood, dairy, even bakery is increasingly an area that we look at. And just last year, our associates rescued over 100 million pounds of food through our Fresh Rescue Program. This is in operation in every single one of our retail stores. It's also something we have versions of that program in our manufacturing plants and our distribution centers. So that is a lot of food that we're driving to primarily our kind of premier partner in all this work, which is Feeding America, of course, the nation's largest food bank umbrella organization. So that is a big piece of it. It's not exclusively the fresh food. We do a lot, as do other retailers, of redistribution of non-perishable food items. So your canned goods and your boxed goods that might have more of a shelf life, and work closely with the food banks on that as well. But when you combine the food that we donate annually, as well as the funds that we provide through philanthropy, through charitable giving and partnership with various organizations, the company delivered almost 500 million meals of food last year alone. And that's food that's going right to feed hungry families in our communities, which is something we're certainly proud of. That number almost doubled year over year, due to the focus from Zero Hunger, Zero Waste. So our teams are, you know, serious about addressing this problem. And it's really amazing to see the connection at the store level, right? Because this is not something that can be driven top down. It is truly bottom up. the pride that associates take in not only serving our customer and making their days better through the retail store experience every day, but being able to go home at the end of the day and know that part of your job was to direct food to feed hungry families who may be your neighbors and certainly people in your community makes a huge difference and says a lot about our culture.
There is nothing like bringing canned food to a food pantry and seeing the love and affection you get. And you're thinking like, this is my excess, I thought, and I'm just, and then you just, the good that washes over you. So I can imagine what your employees are feeling.
No doubt about it.
You know, hunger is such, such a pervasive issue in our society. And I had an experience not long ago, just a few years ago, where I was at my alma mater, the University of Georgia, and I was at the student center. And across from the entry to an area that I was really interested in, there was a door, and it basically was nondescript, but there were people coming in and out of it with egg. And I asked the person giving the tour at the time, I said, what's in that room? And they said, oh, that's our food pantry for our students that can't afford the meal plan and really can't afford to buy food other than, you know, like ramen noodles. And it's shocking to me to think that at the University of Georgia, probably was happening when I was there, that you have students that are going hungry. They want their education. They can't afford the time to work, like they, you know, to make money in order to pay for the food. Their families can't help them. So the university had this set up. And so, you know, it's a problem that's right in front of you, and you just don't see it many times. So, Keith, you have to be working with a lot of local organizations as well. I mean, Feeding America is great, but I would assume that making sure that the food, especially, I'm assuming that you also engage with the, you know, you've got your bakeries and things of that sort in your store, so that food's being taken out as well. I'm assuming that.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And a couple points there, Bill. I mean, your comment about the college experience, I think, is really interesting, and it's absolutely something we continue to see today. I mean, even pre-COVID, and in fact, we've partnered through Zero Hunger, Zero Waste with a number of universities. One near our headquarters is the University of Northern Kentucky, which is a sort of medium-sized public institution. And it is, you know, that student body is largely first-time college students, sort of first in their family to go to school. And there are a lot of kids there who are in a very similar situation to what you just described. You know, they're able to make ends meet enough to get to the community college and to focus on their classes, but they may not have enough extra cash to get an extra meal here and there, which is the definition of food insecurity, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. So we've partnered with a number of universities like that to establish food pantries and food stores on site, free food stores. And it's been a really great opportunity because you can build out a kind of store experience that helps the student or the person in need maintain dignity. You know, through the focus on fresh food, we can ensure that the product that's there is top quality product. And then the universities do a really great job of building out that kind of social safety net and set of services around the pantry. And they have, you know, counselors on site who are available so that the students who come in there who may have other issues or underlying problems, perhaps at home, that are contributing to their situation, then have access to that extra set of assistance, which is, you know, really powerful.
I give a shout out to a very, very dear friend of mine who was with me when I was on that tour, and she and her husband established a scholarship at the university. It's called Let the Big Dogs Eat, Let All the Big Dogs Eat. And they regularly give out every year 40, 50 food scholarships to students that otherwise would be facing the food insecurity issue. And it provides them with the opportunity to actually go to school, focus on learning, and doing it with a stomach that isn't starving. And so, you know, It's something people should be aware of, and it's something that is there. And it's something that the universities don't really like to talk about either. And I know this is almost way off subject, and I apologize, but it's just when I think about hunger and I think about what you're doing and this extraordinary work that you're doing, and I think, you know, I serve on a board of an organization that also provides food for people that are facing health issues, that are homebound. And, you know, we work with a lot of partners that make it possible. And so what Kroger is doing is really fantastic. And I'm just really excited about the program. And I think that if you, you know, if you think about those local partnerships too, Keith, I mean, that has got to be really important. I mean, in order to have the impact that you want to have on the communities that you serve, that people being aware that it exists is important.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, we mentioned Feeding America. Every one of our stores across the country is partnered directly with a local food bank. So we probably have well over 100 local food bank partners that are the recipients of much of that excess food. The surplus food that we're driving to, it, you know, ultimately reach its highest purpose, which is to feed people. We, in addition to that, we do partner with a number of local organizations. Sometimes it's directly with food pantries. You know, one other thing I'll note is, again, when you think about the engagement of the store associate, we've begun a program called Zero Heroes, where we will recognize an associate within the company from every one of our operating divisions annually. Typically, they're nominated by their peers for work that they are doing themselves, even outside of the context of what we kind of offer within the company. And an example of that is there's a young woman named Amber Winchester, works in a store in our Delta division in Southern Kentucky in Paducah. She's a millennial, and she saw a need in her community. And she identified a couple service providers, local pantry, and I believe a local shelter. And she went and kind of rounded up her store team and said, hey, let's start driving some of the needs to these folks directly. She did it on her own, you know, with the support of the store, certainly. But that's a great example of the kind of local connection I think you're talking about, Bill. And again, yeah. What's so powerful about that is it did, you know, there's a sort of structure or a framework around zero hunger, zero waste that I think is easily understandable by people. But there's also enough extensibility in the brand that you can go and make it what is most relevant in your community. And Amber is a great example of that.
So we're weeks away from Thanksgiving, the traditional December holidays. In what way does this sort of ramp up to be sure that those who can celebrate with family have enough food to do so?
Yeah, it's a great question, and you know it's hard to answer that without acknowledging the context and the frankly just the additional burden on people and the acceleration of hunger in America due to COVID-19 this year and the pandemic, which you know. Really demonstrates that the mission here is more relevant than ever before. You know, Feeding America says that pre-COVID, there were about 35 million Americans who struggled with hunger or were food insecure. The most recent estimate is that 17 million or more additional people are struggling with hunger today as a result of the pandemic and the related economic downturn. So we're looking at almost upwards of 50 million Americans who are struggling right now. And, you know, when we went through the last recession in 08, 09, food insecurity rates went up pretty significantly and then continued for a period of time. Even as the recession started to wane and the economy came back. So our anticipation, sadly, is that, you know, with the economic downturn, this is likely to be a continuing challenge for too many of our neighbors. And as I said, that really demonstrates the relevance of the program and the need for all of us to work together. You know, Kroger has resources and scale and certainly passionate people. To put against solving this problem of food waste and food insecurity. But we need the help of neighbors, of friends, of suppliers, of farms, really the entire industry to work toward this. And I will say, you know, it's another reason to love this industry collectively. I can't name a company, a retailer, certainly a food retailer, who is not doing, I believe, everything they can to address hunger in this country. You know, we're a huge part of that charitable hunger infrastructure. And over time, one thing that we believe is an opportunity is that we can do more with the food rescue program than we're already doing today. So I mentioned, last year was about 100 million pounds of food, which is pretty incredible. We think there's upwards of 30% more opportunity just in our stores to drive more food to the communities. And one of the challenges that's out there today is the distribution system is tight. So Feeding America has an amazing distribution network of food banks. And there is a need. I want to be really clear about that for your audience. There's a need for funds and there's a need for additional food. But there is a very fundamental challenge, which is having enough and consistent pickups of that food from our stores and getting it out to the pantries. And there's a lot of work being done today to try to address that problem discreetly, because as I said, we've identified just within our store network a lot more capacity to deliver more food to the families that need it. I suspect other retailers are in a similar situation. And I'm sharing this in part because I'm hopeful perhaps there's somebody who's listening who might have some innovative ideas for how to leverage, you know, different business models to try to help address this problem.
We might want to consider doing a panel discussion around this and having Keith and maybe a couple of others involved, because we didn't get to something that I wanted to get to, which was how you're tying this into a lot of other things that Kroger is doing, is involved with, and is committed to. And yet you're making sure that you weave this initiative into it as well to address some of those issues that are important to the company, to your associates, and to the community you serve. So we'll get you back, Keith, I promise.
Yeah, I love that idea.
With that in mind, if you haven't listened to Retail Gets Real, we have a part of the program and it's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Now, I know this causes some concern, but it shouldn't, because all we're going to do is we're going to ask you a question. It is a simple question that really just requires a simple response. First thing that comes to mind. So are you ready, Keith Daly?
I am ready. The introvert in me is anxious, but let's have it.
This should be fun. Right. Bring it on, Susan.
Make it easy. White mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes?
Oh, goodness gracious. White when I was younger, but these days I go sweet all the way.
Love the sweet potato. All right. So staying in the food genre, what is always in Keith Daly's refrigerator?
Ready Whip.
Love it.
That's a first. Ding, ding, ding.
If you were to have the option to travel right now, where would you go?
Oh, man. To a beach, somewhere warm and safe.
That was going to be my next question. Where would you vacation, beach or mountains? So you've already answered that question. Yep. So I'll ask this question instead. What is your favorite book that you always recommend to people?
This is a favorite. I often recommend it. And this is actually the most recent book I've read cover to cover, and I've read it multiple times, which is Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl. And it's a, I'm sure folks are familiar with it. It's a heavy topic. It's written about the his experience in the Holocaust camps, right? But it is the, if not the, one of the most hope-filled books that I've ever read, and I make a point to read it frequently, because it gives you pretty extraordinary perspective on the sort of an inherent capability or capacity that all of us have to make it through the most dark times.
That is very pertinent for today's Indeed. World. Susan, wrap her up.
Turkey or ham?
Ham.
Okay.
Is that what you have? So you have turkey at Thanksgiving. What do you have at Christmas?
We typically do ham at Christmas, yeah.
Ham, very good. All right. Well, Keith, if people want to learn more about the program that you have there at Kroger, where should they go?
You know, I would say the best place to go is thekrogerco.com, which is our kind of primary corporate website. And that's where you can find our annual ESG report, a lot of information about zero hunger, zero waste. And if you'll forgive me, an additional kind of timely plug, a lot of additional information is up there now about a very recently launched 10-step framework for action around the topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is obviously incredibly important and quite topical during this this extraordinary 2020. And we have a full collection of information available there about the additional commitments that the company is making to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion, both in our company and in our communities.
That's fantastic. Keith Daly, Group Vice President of Corporate Affairs at the Kroger Company. Thank you so much for being a guest on Retail Gets Real. It's been fascinating.
Thank you. Really appreciate what y'all do.
And Susan, thank you once again for co-hosting. It's great to see you. I can't wait to see you in person sometime soon.
Thank you. It was a privilege to be on this one. Thanks, Keith. It was great.
And thank you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at nrf.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks again for listening. And as we say in this time of a pandemic, please be safe, be well. And we'll see you next time. Thanks again.